Praise and thanks be unto our God for his grace and faithfulness, also for this moment and hour in which we may live. We have heard already many things last night, the wonderful word of that, what God has prepared for his people, how he revealed himself in his glory. We have heard it. He revealed himself in Christ Jesus as the true one, being the brightness of his glory, and has taken away the veil. And the veil was rent so that everybody can have the access. And so we also heard it this morning and in the afternoon, how God struggles to call us, that we come to him as the Father who gives good gifts, as a Father who hears his sons and daughters who call to him day and night. May God help us that we continue to make us available for him so that he can take us into his hands, leading us. Now, before we pray together, I think what we heard last night, we will hear a continuation today. I don't know, but whatever may come, let us receive it as God gives it to us. Before we pray together, I would like to read us a word from Hebrews, from chapter 12, a few verses, and then also from chapter 13. From chapter 12, I start with verse 18. Here the Lord speaks through the Apostle Paul and says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more." Then from verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling." And then from chapter 13, I would like to read a few verses. Here the Apostle Paul speaks and says from verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, and bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Let us stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for this hour of grace, O God. We time and again come together here in the hope, when we look up to you that you may bless us, giving us your word. We thank you for the opportunity which you still give us. We don't know how, for how long. Let us therefore redeem the hours, the moments, for your praise and for your glory. We ask you together, give your word tonight. Give us open ears and open hearts, vessels which you can fill as we have sung. Give grace, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen also, Lord, and bless the lips through which you want to speak. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. a very heartfelt shalom. The peace of God be with you. Blessed is the man who has peace with God. A songwriter sings, when peace like a river floods my soul, then the heart rejoices and jubilates. And this we wish for all of us tonight, that this peace, which is higher than all understanding of men, which surpasses our thinking, that this peace could reign our hearts and minds. I would like to greet and welcome everyone very warmly, our brothers and sisters from Austria, from Switzerland, from France, from Belgium, and our dear brethren from Finland and from Czechoslovakia, and our brother from Tehran, and last but not least, our brethren from the German Democratic Republic. This word always sounds so strange to us. Here is democracy, and there the name. But the terms were confused. What can we for it? One day, all kingdoms of this world will be lying in rubble, and the Lord will reign as King, and we with Him. Then the choice is forever made, and we may say, the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. As long as we are still on earth, we have to submit into everything, just as it is. May God bless also this evening hour. For me, last night, and also this morning and this afternoon, was balm for my soul. It was so pleasant, so lovely. The Lord has really spoken with us. How many can say amen to it? Most certainly all who were here. It was something very special. Bodily, I feel, of course, a bit weak. You can probably not fully understand this. But if one has such a extensive journey behind him, from one climate into the other, and didn't sleep some nights, and partly just a little bit, and then you are again fully roped in, instead of that one could relax a bit, it always continues in full swing. Sometimes I envy the pastors who read on a Sunday morning a sermon, and then they can relax a whole week, unless there comes a funeral. Then they are disturbed in their peace. But we want to be available. May there come what may come. We have put our hand to the plow, and we don't look back, but forward. And thank the Lord, our God, who looked at us graciously and who has drawn us unto Himself. So, we want that all feel at home, and who is not dealt in the right way, let it be known to me. We want that all are looked after in the best way, and I hope that you are satisfied. I probably said this morning or this afternoon, we want to make hymn number 7 to that hymn which shall lead us through these days. Lord, you have done great things on us. We praise you in the dust. We worship you. And if it is given to you, then open your heart. We have, I may not forget this. In the second stanza, we read, you, the crowned head for your children, you show yourself without a cover to everyone who believes, and you walk amidst of your own, so that everyone feels your presence. May we not only have sung it, but believing it with all our hearts and counting with that it will also be so today. We spoke last night about the subject that Moses covered his face, and we read it in the New Testament from 2 Corinthians, and we also quoted from the sermon of Brother Branham. If we continue tonight with the same subject, then I ask all of you to hear prayerfully and to be in supplication to God that He reveals unto us and tells us what we have to learn from these sermons and what He wants to tell us very personally through it. What was with Moses, this we read. What was with the people of Israel, about this we are informed. About the beginning of the New Testament church, about the four Gospels, the book of Acts, the epistles, then the book of Revelation. We were also informed about church history to some extent. How the Spirit of God time and again started, and the biblical truths were revealed. But now we live in a special time, in a prophetic age, in which Bible prophecies become divine reality before our very eyes. And because of this, it was necessary to put the word of prophecy upon the lampstand, and with it also the revelation of Jesus Christ, really to give it to them who come nigh to God. Let me read three scriptures, and then I will also read from the sermon a few quotes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God who commanded, let there be light, the same God has given us light in our hearts, that we recognize and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we already proclaimed it everywhere, God has not revealed Himself in a religion, not in the nature as the Redeemer, but personally He revealed Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the only personal revelation of God here on this earth. We will see that God spoke through the prophets, but that in Christ He took on shape and redeemed us. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then from Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 11, and by it we come then to the subject of last night. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have read this word and we want that it can become reality, that we experience what You prepared for us. Lord, You see my bodily condition. I ask You, bless Thy word, be nigh to us, be merciful to us, give us a hunger after You, to experience You as never before, so that You can satisfy our longing and that You can reveal Yourself as then in Bible days. Bless us now from the riches of Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. From this sermon, The Unveiling of God, we read last night and we found out that in the Old Testament the veil was laid over the face of Moses, and that in the New Testament, in Christ, this veil was taken away, and that we can see the glory of God, that we may see it. Yes, that we may experience that we are also veiled into this glory. If we want to summarize this, then we can say the shadow images of the Old Testament, they got closer and closer to reality. And when the last prophet Malachi prophesied 400 years before the beginning of the New Testament, all were waiting that it might be fulfilled what God spoke through his servants and prophets. Suddenly, it was there, the word which came forth from the mouth of the prophets was given as the word of promise to Mary. She believed, the Spirit overshadowed her, and Christ was born. That's how the New Testament started. That's how the realization of God's plan of salvation with mankind began. We see that we now experience similar things. All prophets and apostles and the Lord, they spoke of the days in which we live now and we're longing for to see fulfilled and have not seen it because the time was not come yet. But now, all the promises become reality, and we come always closer and closer to the end. And if we want to speak here with a word of prophecy, then they already spoke in the Old Testament that the day of the Lord will come, on which the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood, the stars fall from heaven, and the day of the Lord will come, which would burn as an oven. In the New Testament, the same was said. But before this great and terrible day of the Lord comes, God wanted to send a prophet, and today the Lord would say unto us, I have kept my word and have sent him, and blessed is he who hearkens to it. But if we already speak of that the things have to take their course, then I ask you to pay attention to two places. The one from Matthew 24 and the other from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Matthew 24, the Lord speaks of the signs of the time, of the end time, of wars and rumors of wars, and of earthquakes, and of everything what had to come upon this earth. And then there is one single sentence, but all these things are the beginning of sorrows, not yet the end, the introducing, the announcement, the birth pains, not the thing itself which comes forth, which will come forth, but the sorrows, the birth pains, the labor which would set in and have set in. Paul, being an apostle and prophet of the New Testament, looked not at the beginning of this end time, but to the end, and said, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Both belongs together. The introduction that we recognize, and also this our Lord says in Luke 21, when you shall see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. We have heard and seen some things, and some we even witnessed. But right at the end, the word peace and safety is written. Don't we notice in our days, as East and West, great and little, all want peace, all want safety, and all arm themselves as never before. I read already a long time ago that the earth can be destroyed 21 times with that what is available already now. It is enough when one earth is destroyed once. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, all this had to be, so that the great people sit at one table to negotiate a peace which can and will be only a false peace. Because everything what is being done without God cannot remain. But if then it is being proclaimed, now we have peace. Now there is peace and safety. And I tell you, everything points to it. And it will come to disagreement. They will have to bring about disagreement because they are afraid of each other. And everybody knows that no one has the chance to survive. We, as the children of God, see all this with a very clear view. And if it's being said here today that we are better informed than all the politicians, then this is not exaggerated. And then we have not sat down with the counselors who are themselves perplexed, but we sat under the preaching of the word and have been taught by God about that what must and will take place in the last days. There all believers can pray that it shall not come, and nevertheless it will come, for thus it is written, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, and it will burn, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and all the works of men which are on earth shall be burnt up. No one will stop it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and by this it remains. That's how it will be. But before this comes upon the earth, the Lord wants to prepare His church, revealing Himself to us, taking away the veil, so that we recognize Jesus Christ as Him, who He really is. Now I come to that what is written in this sermon and want to read some things of it. Moses came from the presence of God. He has been into the Word. The Word has been wrote, and he was in the presence of God. With the Word, he had the Word for that age. You all know there is a word for each age. And Moses coming forth, his face shined. See, the word was in him, ready to be manifested. The true word was ready to be manifested and to be given to the people. God had written it, and it was with Moses. Moses had the word for them. He had the living word. It was just hidden, veiled. Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Let us stop here a bit. Moses was not only a receiver of the word, he was the carrier of the word. He had part in the promise which God has given. And if we transfer this to our time, at that time, God said to Abraham, after 400 years, I will lead your descendants out of bondage. And when this time had come, God had a man who was born into this world, not just to eat and to drink, not just to have been here, but to make history through him. Moses. Moses, a man of God. Outwardly seen, he once forgot himself, and he killed an Egyptian and buried him hastily, looking to the left and right, whether nobody sees him. And then on the next day, he ran away. And here we could already stop and say, one moment, dear God, this you should have known, that a murderer cannot come here on the scene, or a manslayer. God knows all things in advance. Before we have been born, before we've even done anything, God already knew the course which our life would take. And he would be ill-advised if he had to wait to know what was happening. He knew everything in advance. The time of God was here. The hour was come. The prophet was there. The revealed word was there for that hour to bring the people of God the promise which the Lord had given to Abraham. To me, it's like a red thread which goes through the entire announced plan of salvation. Not just a sermon about Abraham, about Moses, or about the prophets, but by divine revelation, we are transferred into that what God revealed to them. And we have part in that what was made known to them. In Moses was the word. He was carrier of the word and experienced the promise which God had given together with all the people. And we know at that time came light among the people of God. The Holy Scripture says very clear, upon all of Egypt came such a darkness that one could almost touch it. But there where Israel was, in Goshen, was bright light. This was the contrast. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And then Paul writes again, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, ye, beloved brothers, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why does he say this to us? Ye, beloved brothers, are not in darkness. Because he knew that the prophet Zechariah has said and prophesied, it shall be light at evening time. The church lasts until the midnight hour, and then a cry is made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. The day of grace had a beginning. It took its course. It has reached its evening time, and it will reach the midnight hour. The light came at evening time, so that we can find the illuminated way through the prophetically revealed word in this dark world. This is the thought which God wanted to express. Again, not a doctrine about which one can argue, but an experience with God. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. On one hand, the word was revealed through Moses. On the other hand, veiled. To some revealed, to the others hidden. It continues here. O brother, you will take this now as an insult. But as Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, that if Moses had to veil his face just because the glory which was upon his face was so great that it blinded the people, how much more is it now? You all know what can happen if one walks against the light. The brighter the light, the worse we can be blinded by the light. If we go against the light. And about this, many people marvel in this generation. Have you tried that before? Just switch on the headlight of your car and try to look into it. You see nothing. One doesn't have to go against the light. One has to walk with the light to see the way illuminated. He who goes against the light, he sees nothing at all. But he who goes with the light, he has a lamp on his way. He has illumination. Right? And so we must in these days walk with the light which came, with the revealed word and will of God. Blessed is the man who has understood this in this time. He found grace in the sight of God and will continue to find it. It continues. Notice, this was a natural glory, for it was a natural law which was fading away. Spiritual blinded people. That glory was to fade away, but this glory won't fade away. Moses had the carnal laws, the condemnation. There was no grace in the law. It just condemned you. There was no forgiveness. The law just told them what they were. But this here gives you a way out. And when that word is unveiled, oh, What kind of a face will it be? It's got to be veiled. Now notice, the Spirit is veiled in a human temple. Moses spoke the natural words, covered with a natural veil. Now Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 3:6, in this sense of the Spirit word, we are ministers, not of the letter, the law, but able ministers of the Spirit. That is, that the Spirit takes the letter and manifests it. Exactly this happened in these days. The Word was quickened by the Spirit in all them who believe it. And when Paul says very boldly, if our proclamation is hidden, then only to them who get lost, but not with them who are saved. And the Lord said then, the Son of Man has come so that the seeing get blind, and the blind become seeing. And the scribes said to one another, does he mean that we are blind? And he says, if ye were blind, you would have no sin. But because you think that you see, therefore your sin remains. All the people who think that they can teach God and that they know everything, they will not be well. But if we come humbly into the presence of God and say, Lord, teach us. We want to know you and your word and your will. Already God is nigh to us. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And this humbleness we all need. You all know, through the ministry of Brother Branham, so to say, a separation took place, just as it was with the Lord and with the prophets. Our Savior said, for a division I am come into this world. There must be made a decision. Who is on the side of God and who is on the other side? Here it continues, if that was veiled by a natural veil, then this is veiled by a spiritual veil. So don't try to look at the natural. Break into the Spirit and see where you are at. See what hour we are living in. Does it make sense to you now? We shall not only look on the outward things, but recognizing by the Spirit what God is doing now and breaking through to come into the inner things. It continues here. Don't you realize it, that this is a traditional veil? It's hiding God from you. Most certainly it's like this. Traditions of all kinds. And as it was then in Judaism, they knew when and how they should clean their pots, how far they can walk on a Sabbath. They knew how to sing the Psalms. And the Lord came to his own, and his own received him not. Now comes something very special. A brother speaks with Brother Branham and says, Brother Branham, here is one thing I got against you. You are trying to make the people believe they are in an apostolic age, to live today like they were in the apostolic age. But the apostolic age ceased with the apostles. I said, it did? He said, yes. I said, who was the spokesman in the apostolic age? He answered, the 12 apostles. I said, then Paul was out. The spokesman at Pentecost was Peter. And when they seen all this going on and the Holy Ghost working, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If he is still calling, then the same applies today. When did the apostolic age cease then? The apostolic age ceases when God ceases to call. Did we understand this? God does not change his word. God does not change his plan. Blessed is he who lets himself be placed. Be honest. Do we all count with it that God lets us experience a repetition of the book of Acts? I count with it. I count 100% with it that God lets us experience a repetition of the book of Acts. And I still have one more thought in my heart, that it could go beyond it, that it will become even more mighty and more strong and more glorious. And then here some may say, yes, if Paul would be here, then I could believe. Or if Peter could be here, then I could believe it. And then those who have a special relation to the ministry of Brother Branham, they could think by themselves, yeah, if this Brother Branham could be here, oh, then we could all believe it. No problem. Then even the chair on which we sit could believe. But do you know what? Who was Paul? And who was Peter? And who was Brother Branham? And who are we? They were all vessels whom God has filled, whom God used, whom God blessed. Who were the people, the 120? Who were the 3,000? Who were the 5,000? Who were these people? They were believers. At the end, there will not be made a cult of men. It will not be the great man and the special prophet, but the great God who spoke through all the prophets and who is just waiting for that this hour of God comes. And may he want that it's pretty soon. I am, when I look on myself, I'm also a bit troubled. But when I look in faith to the Lord and to his promises, then I'm totally unconcerned. And I know that God has ways and means that he can make the weak strong. The unskilled he can make skilled. God can take whoever he wants and manifest himself as he likes. Important is that he receives all the honor and all the praise and glory. It continues here. It takes the word to do it. It's the word. Jesus told Satan, it is written. Peter said that it was for everyone God would call for, would receive the same apostolic blessing. This is the Word of God. God the Word, veiled in human flesh. He was also veiled in Moses. The presence of God was in him. He was so perfect with that Word in him, in a way that he had to veil his face. He was a vindicated prophet who unfolded the Word and conveyed it to the people. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. God had to veil himself in a human being to bring the Word to that generation. Or the Word would have blinded even the called out. This thought we just touched upon, the Word, when it is revealed, it becomes a bright light, and this light shall not blind us. It shall illuminate unto us the way. It shall show us what God has prepared for us. It continues, see, he had to be veiled. So God veiled himself in Moses and gave Moses the Word. And Moses came and spoke the Word of the Lord with a veil over his face. Jehovah veiled in a form of a prophet. We have read in Hebrews chapter 1, God spoke in sundry times through the prophets. The Word came to them, and they had part in the divine nature, and therefore they were called gods, because they received the Word of God in them. What shall be with us today? When we receive the divine seed of the Word in us, then we heard it clearly, that every seed has to bring forth after its own kind. If we have sown the divine Word of promise, then as a result, the fulfillment of this Word of the divine promise, one day it must have become a living reality as a possession in our hands. I believe with all my heart that God did not make empty promises, but that he gave us his Word to awaken a living and justified hope in us. He revealed unto us so that we know with what we can count with. It continues, notice, only Moses had the Word. There wasn't a group which came down to the people. It were not the Pharisees or the Sadducees or any other certain sect or clan. It was Moses. He only had one man. God cannot use two or three different minds. He takes one man. Moses had the Word, and Moses alone. Joshua even didn't have it. No one else had it, and behind it is the word Amen. If there are men in these days who always come on the scene with new revelations, then we simply have to say that God has not forgotten anything at all, that everything what he wanted to say and what he wanted to reveal. It was said and it was revealed. The Amen was not loud enough. This was not yet loud enough. For you know very well how many new things are thrown onto the religious market. But there are people who recognized that God has spoken with us, that His Word was revealed and made known unto us in all clarity and truth. And we don't need to add anything or take anything away from it. We have only one single request: to obey all this, to believe it, to walk forward obediently with our Lord, so that faith and obedience is linked to this divine revelation, and that the power of God can be manifested in them who received the word of God. Also this we have said many times: the words of men will never accomplish anything, but God's word cannot return void. It must and it will accomplish for what God has sent it for, in you and in me, in the whole church, which was called out through the word. Thus the word will become a living reality and will get the divine confirmation in her. It continues here: Moses was a prophet. He was the major prophet of the hour. And I think today there's no one who would contradict this. But when we then come to our time, then we have so many voices which come to us. And then we have the courage to confess that a man sent from God came on the scene with the message of God for this time, and he delivered it to the people of God under a mighty divine vindication, which is incomparable with all whatever happened. And for this we are grateful. If God had taken several men, we would have agreed also with that. Once in a year, the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. He didn't enter to bring the word out, but he went in to sacrifice the blood. The Ark of the Covenant remained closed. Everything had to wait until the Lamb of God would shed the blood, and with that moment the veil rent. The way to the mercy seat was free, and we may enter. Here it says now, in reference to Israel, the last thing was spiritual death, rejecting the word. Now notice, God warned any persons not to. Moses went in and the pillar of fire came down. God had men through whom he could speak and through whom he could work. He continues, he doesn't want any impersonators. His word is revealed to one. It's always been. In every age came a prophet with the word of the Lord. Every time, down through the scripture, the word comes only to one prophet. Also this I have given as a challenge all over the world, when brothers come up with new teachings and new revelations, then my first question is whether they are a prophet. And then, of course, no, this they are not. And then the answer, the word does not only come, but has already come to the prophet and was already completely revealed. We must, in these days, be very, very careful to remain in this word, so that we can experience the fulfillment of all the promises by His grace. Now, just briefly, here it says, what a lesson we learn here. Everybody wanted to be a Moses. Just remember what Dathan and them said out there. Now, Moses, wait here just a minute. You take too much upon yourself. There is other men here that God has called. Was it so? God has called Moses. He appeared unto him in the burning bush. He addressed him and said, put off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Even then, Moses didn't want to go and said, Lord, you know that I cannot speak. And then the Lord God said, who is it who created the mouth and who has given the language? And God just sent him with the word to the people then, and it was accomplished for what it was sent for. What a lesson we learn here. Everybody wanted to be a Moses. Just remember, I just read it now. There is other men here that God has called. They just didn't know where and when this happened. And they also didn't know what the Lord told them or with what He commissioned them. It continues, this was the truth. They, each one, were following fine as long as they went along. But when one tried to step up and take Moses' position that God gave him, which he was predestinated and ordained to, then fire came down from heaven, and the earth opened up and swallowed them right into it. Be careful. Just be good, godly Christians who believe the word, but stay away from that pillar of fire. What a lesson! When God had first appeared to Moses in a burning bush, God was veiled in the pillar of fire. There, hid back in a bush, just like He was hidden behind the veil on the mercy seat there at the altar in the tabernacle. He is always veiled. But there, outside, God vindicated Moses by the same pillar of fire before the people. Now watch, are you reading? Or do you let your minds drift away? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. With this, I want to stop here with reading. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. God remained the same. All His ways are still the same today. The same word, the same spirit, the same effects, the same experiences. Everything what God has laid into the church at the beginning must be at the end in the restored church. And to it, is necessary that we become one heart and one soul, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, that we don't go into different directions, but in one, and not in your and not in mine, but the divine direction, recognizing it and walking in this divine direction, so that we can reach the destination. But see, God sent one prophet and led out a whole nation. In Hosea, you can read, God has led out the people by one prophet, and again by one prophet he led them in. God is able to do all things, and we are available for him, and we believe that he will finish the work that he started. Christ, as the high priest, once for all, he entered the holy place behind the veil into the Holy of Holies to bring the blood of reconciliation upon the altar. And since then, the veil is rent, the way is free. The blood of the Lamb did not drain away into this earth. The Lord, with his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies. Here you may ask, how did it happen? I don't care. I believe every word as it is written. And the blood speaks even today for you and for me. And we believe in the power of the blood. Even today, we can be reconciled, purified, and sanctified. Forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. God spoke through the prophets, and at the end, he spoke then in Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the express image of his nature. Yes, who is the shape of God. In him, he then not only spoke, in him, God gave us the answer. This is the difference between all the prophets and the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. All prophets prophesied unto him. And the scripture says it in Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. And from that time on, the kingdom of God is preached. And the kingdom of God break through violently. And John said, here is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Everything from what the prophets spoke, what they hoped for and waited, this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was the summary, the sum. He was the answer. He is today your and my answer. The fulfillment of all that, what God has spoken through the prophets. In closing now, still the word which I read at the beginning, from 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is this your and my personal testimony and experience? Can we say of a truth, the God who commanded to let the light shine in darkness has also let the light shine in our hearts? the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. We no longer guess or puzzle who He is. He is unveiled before us. He is the answer of God, your and my Redeemer. In Christ, our encounter with God took place. God was in Christ and we were in Him. There we were reconciled. There was given to us forgiveness and salvation. To our God be much thanks for it, that He looked at us graciously, turning our hearts to the faith, that we don't resist and don't contradict, but that we capitulate before Him and say, "Thou faithful God, who am I that I shall have rebellion against you or against your word? Lord, I thank you that you have spoken to me." We cannot quite realize that here, but the day comes where we will thank the Lord that He addressed us, that His word came to us, and that we believed. It's worthwhile. One thing I want to tell you: whoever believes is 100% better off than the one who does not believe. Because he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And we want to be saved. And saved is no one by any official act. We are saved only through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. May His word become a divine reality in us. May His Spirit come on us and manifest Himself in the power of the resurrection, that we all in these days can still make a glorious experience with our God. The veil was rent. The way is free. Your and my redemption took place. We are reconciled with God, and the mysteries of the word were also revealed. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. We sing together, "Just As I Am." We bow our heads, close our eyes, open the hearts. May God, through His Spirit and through His Word, work mightily in all of us. Beloved, for us, the revelation of His Word and of His will means at least so much to us as then to the people of Israel through Moses, when the Exodus and the liberation should take place. It was not only a promise, it was the realization of the promise in those for whom this promise was given. Now it will be the same. Before the bride church will be taken up, she must have been led out. Come out, ye my people, and touch not the unclean thing, then I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and I will be your God. God calls out through his word. It's the last things which go on right now. May we hear this call. Blessed is he who has an open heart, ears and eyes, to believe, to see and to hear. We notice how late it is. We see the handwriting on the wall. We see the perplexity among the nations. We see the signs of the time, and we recognized the last sign which the Lord gave to the church, as then at Sodom, and also when our Lord was on the earth. We are so grateful that God has not overlooked us, but addressed us. We want to dedicate our lives to him, believing him, trusting him. He will bring it to pass. Receive it. It's not the invention of a man, but God's eternal word, which in these days must become reality and which will find fulfillment, as there were promises for the first coming of Christ and all were fulfilled. So there are promises which are in connection with the return of Jesus Christ. All of them must be fulfilled, and they are being fulfilled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a privilege, what a grace to hear the words of God and to get them revealed by the Spirit. As we are now in the presence of the Lord, perhaps the one or the other is still here who would like to dedicate his life to God. Also, this gathering or this service, we don't want to close without giving the opportunity that people can express their cry to God. Beloved, God calls, he admonishes, he draws in a mighty way to himself. Who wants to still resist? Give up your inner resistance. Raise your hands. Surrender to God. Let us raise our hands together and sing once again, Just As I Am. Heavenly Father, in all weakness, I have tried to bring your word, faithful God, but your word is strong, it is mighty, it is powerful, and will accomplish for what you have sent it for. Faithful God, it is sown in weakness, resurrected in power. I thank you for it. Beloved Savior, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are bound, bless your people, baptize with spirit and fire, come with your presence, Lord. Oh, we thank you that you are descending in such a way that you are so nigh to us. that you bless and that you speak with us and that you reveal your will unto us. Thank you so much for that. Faithful Lord, we worship you and glorify your holy name. You revealed yourself unto us. We thank you for it. And if the word which you have spoken into this generation and revealed it, if it remained hidden, then with those who walk on their own ways, but all who walk your way, they see it illuminated. They have seen the light at evening time. It shines in darkness. Thank you for it, O God. Give us the revelation of Jesus Christ. Take away the veil so that we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ by your grace. Blessed and praised be thy holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. O Lord, you are so wonderful. Your victory belongs to your people. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you with all my heart and with all my soul. You will have a word bride without spot and without wrinkle, washed in your blood, sanctified in your word, sealed with your spirit. O faithful Lord, may you come down in a mighty way, and may you seal your word in the hearts of your disciples. Hallelujah. Honor, praise, and glory be to your wonderful name. Faithful God, also this evening, I pray for all who witness such gatherings for the first time. My God, how might they feel? What thoughts may go through their minds? Faithful God, may they recognize from the first to the last that you visited your people graciously and that it is you who speaks with us. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for it. It is still you who can direct hearts like rivers of water. You make the strong ones your prey. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be thy wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. It wouldn't hurt any of us to say a hallelujah and a praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Great things the Lord has done. For this we are glad and glorify his wonderful and holy name. He sent his word to make us well, to lead us out, to teach us, and to illuminate unto us the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship be to you. Hallelujah. Let us sing with all our hearts. Hallelujah. I am redeemed through the blood. Hallelujah. I am redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. I am so well. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How nice it is to be saved. Amen. Amen.